There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all
the bugs me.
Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Something completely different. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I feel like I've been away forever because I didn't do a Friday show. Welcome back, folks. Today's date would be... Oh, wait, let me see here. This would be the 31st of January. I can tear this off now, our lovely little in-studio calendar. So, 2011, and if you're listening live right now at 5:04, we did start a little bit late. I remember just before we went on the air that it was my father's birthday. And I forgot to call him yesterday. It was actually yesterday. I found out. I thought it was today. I keep thinking his birthday's the last day. What was funny is he goes, thanks for calling. It's great. I know you didn't forget. He goes, when's your birthday again? My birthday's next week. So it was pretty funny. So I had to call my pop and tell him that the legacy continues. All the training he gave me as a young poacher and survivalist, the stuff that I remembered anyway, is still continuing on. And he agreed to acknowledge that I'm only turning 23 and he's only turning 54. And we would both stick to that story, and we're not going to move off of that. Well, man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, has a lot happened since Thursday when we last spoke. And I'm just talking about my personal life. I don't know what's going on out in the world. But all kinds of stuff going on. I'm going to tell you about what we did first and then maybe save it till the second hour to talk about what's going on political ways over in North Africa. Did I predict that or what? I'm gonna pat myself on the back here. Remember last week or the week before when Tunisia was going and Yemen, or not Yemen, was it Yemen? Yeah, it was Yemen. Anyway, I was talking about all these African countries and the Arab countries that were falling apart, and I said it's manipulation by the State Department. There'll be more. And sure enough, and nobody cared until, Egypt started going and they're tearing the heads off of mummies and stuff. And it's just, I got a whole different take on it, something you're not going to be ready for. I want to thank everybody who made donations over the weekend. Stacy's not in the room. She's down there doing something. But when she comes up, I'll thank you personally. I'm not sure who all donated. There was a few dollars donated. So I got a really weird letter from Oakland, California, about the Shauna Ford trial. I just got it. But the problem is they typed it or printed it with a really small font. I got to get like a magnifying glass to read it because my eyes are getting bad. That's why I prefer emails, because I can, with the help of Lou, he enlarges the fonts for this old man who's only turning 23 next week. But I can't read it. I did see some of it, and whoever sent that, thank you. I will get into it and read it some more. I haven't heard any more on Shauna Ford. I still say God's will be done in that, and anybody who wants to call on that can call today. We do have the phone hooked up. Let me make sure here. Yeah, the regular hard line is good. The water's dripped out of it, even though we've been getting rain the last couple of days. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. I see Hellbilly and Minuteman are in there, and then there's some guests, and there's View. I don't know how many people are listening, but... Huh?
Five.
Yeah, it says five altogether, but we don't know who else is listening where they're picking it up. But thank you for tuning in. A special welcome to our pod people whenever you listen to this. Sorry, I'm popping the mic when I say pod people. We do appreciate it. I'm getting send me the love. Send me the emails to dutch@dutchjones.info. dutch@dutchjones.info. That's J-O-E-N-S. dutch@dutchjones, J-O-E-N-S, .info. I really appreciate that when you guys tell me that you're listening at like 2 in the morning while you're at work or something. I like that. And there are people that are pod people that have been pod people for over a year, even when we were on that other unspeakable network. What is it? First Amendment Radio or something. He just got his Facebook page up. Nikki just got a Facebook page up, and he split the phrase in the weird spot. I think Yankee actually sent me a friend request. Unless it's one of you guys joking around. Oh, who's calling here? Oh, it's Anthea. Let me do this just to be funny. Hello, Anthea?
Hey, Daddy.
Yeah, you're live on the air right now. You keep calling when I go on the air. That's okay. I love you, and I like hearing your voice. Can you call me back after the show, baby?
Okay.
Would you want to say anything to the listeners? Say hi to everybody. They're hearing you.
Hey, guys.
Okay. I'll talk to you later, sunshine. Thank you for calling. I love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, good. Otherwise, if you didn't say I love you, I was going to come over there and spank you. Okay, talk to you later, sunshine.
Okay, bye.
Kind of weird. She's 10 years old, and she knows, like, all the stuff that's going on in the world, but she can't remember that the only time her deadbeat dad actually works between 5 and 7, Monday through Friday. Kids, got to love them. Just like Lou, I can't get them to stop eating styrofoam. You know, they all have their thing that they do.
That's the dog.
You're eating the dog?
No, the dog eats styrofoam.
The dog is eating styrofoam, and then you're eating the dog?
No.
I don't know what to
I'm
do
not
with
eating
you.
Eating the dog.
Okay. But where were we with that? I forgot where we were when the phone rang. I lost my train of thought, and it hurt so bad. Train derailment, many dead. A lot of brain cells dead on that train derailment there. Pod people call in, call in, email us, let us know. I appreciate it. I'm getting some really uplifting stuff. About for every 10 good emails I get that are asking questions, asking for references, I get like one idiot. You suck. What did I get one this time? Remember, True Sons of Liberty, and I kind of kicked him off, and he was an idiot and stuff. I had to do it again. He started trying to be my friend again. I said, look, I don't want anything to do with you. Well, now all of his people that, like, he's on his email list. He's actually got about 1,000 people, I guess, that are his followers. He said it was like 70,000, but it's more like 1,000, judging by the things I've seen when I've checked him out. And I'm getting these emails from people that have never listened to the show, I've never talked to before, like some guy who owns a turbine company in Iowa, going, you're a fraud and a phony and you suck. And I'm like, okay, thanks for listening. I love that kind of stuff. Stupid minions working for an even more retarded leader. We were saying that Nicholas opened a Facebook page. So make sure you check that out if you're still listening to programs over there. I don't know what's on there. But Nicholas, it looks like First Amendment Radio now has a Facebook page. I didn't friend him. I just sent him a Bible verse back and, best wishes to him, right? Let's see, what else was there? Personal note, we had a training here Saturday, and we're going to talk a lot about training again. You know how excited I get after we do a weekend of training and then I get to talk on the radio about it, is to motivate you guys to find training opportunities in your area. Now, I know you can't all make it out to Southern California or Central California, forgot where I was for a minute there, and take part in our trainings. And some of them are free, some of them cost. And be praying for Stacy and the ladies. The ladies are going up next Saturday to defensive firearm training. Is that right? Is it defensive firearm? Yeah. DFT in Coarse Gold. A bunch of them are going up. We had a few chicken out. So, they're like, I don't have a belt that goes with my holster. I can't find the right shoes to go with this revolver. So I was like, and if you're listening, I'm just making fun of you. It's okay. I know next time around you'll get it. You better. So the women are going to go up, so we'll be praying for Stacy and Debbie and the Campbell ladies. Mom's staring at me through the window and waving at me. Hey, Stace. So they're going to be training next Saturday, so we'll be praying for safety and diligence on their part. I'm going to go along just to watch. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. But this Saturday I had an opportunity along with Sergeant R from Code 20, Steve Klein from Code 20, our good buddy, I will just say Vince, our local Filipino friend, and Stacy and Lewis. Lewis and Steve were in the classroom in the church, and the rest of us were out on the range. And what we did is we had a day-long training seminar. Half the day was spent educating them on cell warfare, how to network, how to recruit, how to train, how to identify your enemies. And, of course, Code 20 focuses on the Islamic threat, but it applies to anything. It doesn't matter if it's the Chinese, if it's Masons, whatever your choice is, whatever makes you want to put on your tinfoil hat and rock back and forth, whatever enemy that you believe is your enemy, Catholics, whatever. And what was funny is that this group was we had a group come in, and it was your typical group that we have come up here. There's always the know-it-all, done it all before, an expert. He's just here because he's slumming. And these people paid $100 for this, so I don't know why somebody would waste their money on something they already know. And the rest were some people that have never touched a firearm before and are only getting involved in the militant Christian worldview. And, in fact, three of them were these really nice little Jewish ladies that wanted desperately to learn how to protect themselves. They had an understanding of history. They were old enough that they had spoken to their elders. These people didn't go through the Holocaust or whatever you want to call it, but they knew about the possibilities. And we thought, what a great way to minister to some Jewish people. So we had them come in, and the rest were from Pakistan, the Philippines. I think that was the bulk of their nationalities, but they were also from the area, from California area. And they came in, and we just had a great time. Now, one of the things that I want to mention, Sergeant R, and we won't give out his last name for obvious reasons because he doesn't want us to. But so it was a mixture of recent military training and my long line of things that I've picked up along the way, and it was a great, great day. Get the dog out of here. I don't want him pulling on the cords again. Somebody call him, Stace. Where is he? He's right by me. Just call him. Doesn't matter where he is. Clap your hands and call him. And beautiful weather. All week it had been beautiful. And what's weird is, jumping in, as soon as we got done with the whole day letting them shoot different rifles and pistols, and just it was an intro class teaching them some stuff, some basic tactics and things that they can do to defend their homes, the fog rolled in and it dropped like 25 degrees and it was just time to go. And it was like God just said, okay, you're done. This is it. I mean, we probably would have stayed out there all night if the sun, or all afternoon if the sun had held out and shot up whatever ammo we had. But these people paid $100. Some of them had fired weapons before. Some of them owned weapons. Some of them didn't even know what kind of weapon they had when they showed up. And that's fine. I tell you folks, that happens all the time. So Stacy, me, and Vince and Sergeant R, got on the range. We showed them how to load their weapons, how to shoot their weapons, showed them where to shoot the targets. We had man-shaped targets because, as far as I know, all the research I've done, I've never known a bullseye to do a home takeover robbery or hold up a liquor store. Does anybody know of anyone that's ever been attacked by a bullseye? No. Lou, have you ever, in any of your weird nightmares that you tell me about, ever had a bullseye chase you down? No?
What if the guy has a bullseye mask?
Well, if he has a bullseye mask, that's even more convenient, I guess. But we showed him, two to the body if they keep going, one to the head, the civilian tactic. And just all different. We discussed the legal implications of it. We discussed what open carry in California is, because we're trying to educate people on that. And I vacillate back and forth with that one, because like right now I'm only carrying concealed. It's just the thing I'm doing now, because I know I'm being watched. I know you're out there. So I do what I can. So we trained him in all that, and of course it was your typical class. I used a little bit of humor and everything, so it went really well. Well, the good news is we're going to try to do one of these every month. Every month for Code 20, and if you're interested in that, you need to contact me. We're going to try and do them the first Saturday of every month. That'll be kind of good. That'll give me some time to, in between trainings, to do it good. We've got it down. I can do this class in my sleep. Not that I would do that. I would give you 100% every time, but the basic introductory to pistol craft and firearm awareness and safety is very basic. The three little Jewish ladies liked it so much, they're coming back. I think they were kind of keen on Vince. That, because they were older than Vince, but he was still, he's close enough to him that he was polite to him, and the way he helped them and helped them load their weapons and, he was showing them the proper grip and all that. I think they were kind of, what's the word? I don't know. I think they liked him.
Infatuated?
No, I wouldn't say it was infatuated, but I think they liked having their own little guy who was willing to take the time with them to do that. I'm kind of like the drill sergeant when I'm out there, but I tell the joke and I let the other instructors, get hands-on. I try to make sure that everything moves along in a timely manner and they get the concepts. I let the range officers, actually interact with the students, unless it's one-on-one. But it was funny. I said there was one student that we actually asked to leave. This guy comes in claiming to be some Vietnam veteran military guy. Well, there are a bunch of veterans. There are at least three veterans that are instructors in this in the course we're giving. He didn't make it past the first one. He didn't know the terminology. He didn't know anything. So then he finally admitted that he lied about that. Boom, first flag. Red flag goes up. Then he claimed to be a sheriff's deputy, a helicopter pilot for the sheriff's department. We never figured that out. But he kept interrupting and stuff. When I got him on the range, he started just saying, well, mind if I interject? Mind if I interject? He wasn't shooting. He didn't want to shoot because he was a master instructor, he said, and he didn't need it. But about the third time he went to interject was one of our pet peeves. Just grab the gun and squeeze it tightly. And I had a revolver. He's just grab the revolver and it won't function. And I said, okay. I said, but what if the hammer's back? Well, I go, I'm going to blow your hand apart when I pull that trigger. Yeah, if you're a big, strong man and you can grab that cylinder and keep it from rotating, but all the people we were teaching were little Jewish ladies, with the exception of one lady that was there. She was Protestant. But and just this guy, and I said, look, all due respect to, you know, whatever police or whatever you have, we don't want these little old ladies trying to grab weapons. That's not what the point of this class is. And he's saying, drop to one knee and fire. And I'm like, no, we're going to teach them how to fire. What was the other thing? I'm trying to think what else he said. He had one good thing on how to load revolvers, but that we weren't teaching how to load revolvers, you know, tactically. We're teaching them how to pull it out of the dresser drawer, grab your flashlight, get in the hallway, you know, blind your opponent and blast them. That's basically what we were doing. Once you identify as a bad guy, he's like, we never use flashlights. And I knew that was a lie because when I was in the police agencies that I've worked with, trained against, ran from, they all use Harry's flashlight technique. As an MP, we used it. So this guy just didn't know what he was saying. So the person who was the coordinator for all the students, Andrew, who is a Pakistani-American or American-Pakistani, I don't know how what they like to be called. I guess I should ask that. But this guy's been through hell and back. He was held in prison in Pakistan and tortured for converting to Christianity. He just told the guy, you're fired. Here's your money back. You can go. And I love that. I love working with that level of professionalism, that if somebody's going to just gab and gab. And if you go to a training, and one of the reasons I'm doing this is I want to help you be a good student. Every training you go to, you should just say tabla rasa, blank slate. And absorb everything you can. And it was funny because I leaned over and this E7 that we have that's with us, a sergeant in the Army, I said, you know everything, right? You've had all the training you could possibly have. There's nothing you can learn. He goes, no. He goes, I'm always learning. And this guy's an instructor for the U.S. Army. So have a humble attitude when you go to training. Please have a humble attitude when you come here. I didn't pay an instructor when I go to hear the guy next to me who I don't know is his laurels is telling me all the cool stuff he's done. Now, there's a difference between, you know, seasoning the story a little bit or the training a little bit, saying, well, this happened to me. What would you have done? But to just constantly trying to circumvent the training doctrine that's being taught. You may not even like what's being taught. Learn it and see what you can take with it. One of the things I learned from our sergeant that came is there was, Lou, you're going to have to help me with this. Lean forward. There was instinctive shooting. Then reactive shooting is what I learned in the military. And now this new soldier, because we had three generations of soldiers here, or one Marine and two soldiers. And then now this new young guy, he's learning reflective shooting. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
So it was instinctive. Reactive was when I was in the 80s and 90s. And then now a young man who's currently in.
Something else when it was first made, too.
Yeah, during World War II.
I can't remember.
You don't remember? But it was, you know, the weapon retention is different. The placement, instead of putting the stock of the M16 on your shoulder up high with just the corner of it touching you, and I hope you can imagine, this is the way I learned it, they're putting the stock in the middle of their chest on their gear. He wore full gear to demonstrate it.
It was just called point shooting.
It was originally point shooting. And now you use your body like a piece of mechanized artillery. You rotate your torso and you're pointing straight and you're just shooting. No accuracy at all. And I know that doesn't apply to everything they do, so I don't want to get cards and letters from active duty people that are listening to this on the pod people. But it's really neat to see how things progress and change. Now, no one system is perfect, my friends. No one style. You know, you can say I'm a diehard Jeff Cooper guy. That's awesome. I mean, he's a hero in the cause. But not everything he did would adapt to what these young men are doing in Afghanistan and Iraq. I probably wouldn't last 10 minutes over there because I don't know the battlefield. You know, it's a completely different dish that they're asking you to feed out of. So, but knowing what everybody else is doing is a good thing, right? Knowing how they do respond, knowing how they react to different situations. So every piece of training you can get goes into your little brain bucket and you can digest it and come out with something new maybe. So when you come up with your own system and you become an instructor, then open your own school. But when you go to these things, if we invite you up to go to DFT, don't bore us, you know, when we're trying to listen to an instructor or when you come here. Just learn. be a humble student. Have the heart of a true Christian and just say, okay. And it's like my dad used to say, God gave you two ears. It's funny because he's an atheist. God gave you two ears and one mouth. That means he wants you to listen twice as much as he wants you to talk. In fact, I don't think he even wants you to talk. So shut up, boy, and listen to what I'm telling you. That was my dad. I just got off the phone with him. it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Dad, even though I'm a day late, in case you tuned in. Don't, you could be one of the guests there. But, folks, we have a duty to learn as much as we can in this grace period. Another thing that I'm doing, I'm getting all these requests from people I used to know scared out of their little pantyhose. What do I do? What do I do? I don't have time for you guys. I'm gonna go biblical on your butt. You had time to collect oil when the time was there, and you didn't collect oil, and now you're coming to ask me for my oil, or where I can get oil, or what to put the oil in, or how do you light the lamp? Too late for that, folks. As far as, you know, people who know me, I don't mind helping new people out. You want to pay me and come here? And that sounds really bad, doesn't it? You want to pay to come to some of these Code 20 classes or come to the free classes? Because it's still sacrificial. You're coming way up in the middle of nowhere into a mountain place to come learn cert training. You're still paying. You may not be handing me a dollar, but you're sacrificing to come here. That I respect. I respect that. Or if you can't make it here, I understand that too. You know, you ask me, hey, can you send me this? Can you send me a link? Yeah, I'll do that. But please stop sending me. Please send me every link you've ever given out. I never saved them. I'm going to laugh at you. And I may lose some listeners because of that, but that's not. I don't do this for number of listeners. I'm here to preach to the willing about what, and I shouldn't say preach because I'm not a preacher. I'm here to share with the willing that have been making sense of this for a long time. I don't want a bunch of Tea Party fanatics who, as soon as Obongo gets kicked out in this next presidential election or finishes his tour of duty on the next one and some repubtard gets in there, goes, woohoo, everything's great, we got a Christian in there, woo, God bless Sarah Palin. And then they walk away from me. And they don't talk to me again for another 8 years until another libtard gets into office. I'm not playing that game anymore with you people. I got burned on the Bush thing. I got burned on Y2K. It's a way of life for us. Those of us that take what we do here on the Dutch Jones radio program to heart and do it every day, and it's a lifestyle. We are preppers, we are patriots, we are Confederates, we're secessionists, whatever you want to call yourself. God bless you guys. But don't burden yourself with these other people, these Johnny-come-latelys, these wallflowers at the dance that wait till the last song of the night to come over and tag you on the shoulder and say, hey, can I dance with you? Can I dance with you? Welcome, Orlin. Welcome to the room. So make certain that you keep an eye out for these people, because what they're going to do is they're going to drag you down. They're going to tie up your time training them with the basics over and over and over and over again because they don't listen. They're going to slow you down from doing the things and running with the swift-footed, you know. And if it's your call, if God calls you to hang out with the kindergartners, fine. I'm not going to say you're wrong. But for me, nah. I don't have time for it anymore. I'm going to throw some Bible verses at them. I'm going to show some historical relevance to what they're doing right now. And just go, we're done. I'll be your friend. But stop being what do we call another psychic vampire? Stop sucking off of me. If you haven't dedicated the last 6 months of your life to putting away some food, ammo, or making plans, I do not know you. God bless you in the path you've chosen. It's happened to me today twice. I've had people go, hey, what's going on over there? What was that you guys were doing? Why wasn't I involved in that? I'm like, well, you had a chance 6 months ago when the planning was going on. You knew about it. You know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. Let me see you stocking up on food. Let me see you studying the right study things, and then maybe I'll change my mind. I could be wrong. I'll change my mind. You know I didn't get to where I am because I just figured it all out on my own. People took me under their wing. There's people I know right now that know way more than I do about any of the stuff I talk about on here, and I go to them for advice. But I'm still going in the same direction and rowing my oar just as hard as I can. Maybe not as hard as some, a lot harder than others, but I'm still rowing in the right direction. I'm not latching a rope onto the back of the barge and saying, and sitting in my little dinghy and say, hey, pull me along with you. Our friends up in Michigan, I haven't heard from you for a while. I hope all is okay. I don't know if you're getting dumped on in snow, Mary and and Mike and all those guys. You're pulling along in the same direction. The people on Facebook that listen constantly, you're all rowing in the same direction. So there's very few of you that I'm talking about. In fact, there are probably people who don't listen to the show, because nothing bothers me more. I'll get these emails. Hey, man, why don't you talk about this on the show? Why don't you talk about that on the show? I go, we talk about that every day on the show. Aren't you listening? No. And then if they say yes, I go, really? Because am I getting an echo?
Hello?
Am I getting an echo? Is that turned on? And I tell them, well, we can tell who's listening. We really can't. We can just tell what region you're in. We don't care. We don't need to know who's listening in what house. But we can tell, you know, regional and if it's government or something like that. But I scare them and go, yeah, we noticed you're not listening. So I guess, you know, it's just, it was an interesting weekend. It really brought a lot of things to a point. There's a lot of promising things going on. The folks that listen from the Southern California Martial Law Alert, thank you and welcome. I'm glad to know you're there. People have been embedding our podcasts in there. And I just sent to the ladies from the coast, I don't know what you guys call them, that's what we call them, a training schedule. And everything on there, whether it's paid or free, give me a call first. Don't just show up here on a Sunday afternoon, because we may have limited materials. You've got to contact me. I put my email address on that thing that went out that's probably going to be posted tomorrow on the Southern California Martial Law Alerts page. And if any of you want to invite anybody, that's awesome. Just make sure they're the proper caliber and the proper person. Make sure they're rowing in the right direction, and I'm going to trust you on that. If you vouch for somebody, that's your reputation, and I'll tell you some stories about what happened before. When we get back, we're going to talk more about Larry Wick and how that's going to go. And I don't have a specific date yet, but we'll talk about it. We'll be right back after this break on the Touch Jones Radio Show. On the, what network are we? Strong? No, we're on the Stronghold Radio Network on Ustream. We're just trying to get that down yet. We'll be right back.
when the crash does come,
when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Okay. We're coming back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio program on Stronghold Radio, coming to you, and I didn't say this in the beginning, the Commonwealth of Cahuilla, California. Right here, if like I always say, if California had a belly button, we could see it from here. Right outside the gates of Sequoia National Park, one of the, I think it was the third or fourth national park in America, Teddy Roosevelt, the much misunderstood and confusing guy, seized the land from private parties and made it a park. Soon to be owned and operated by the People's Republic of China, if things keep going the way I see them. You turned the music down way too soon. I like a real long music bed. Let me do that. I told you, let me do it. That's already gone. I don't have a music bed. It wasn't. It's, well, you should be using like the 1 minute one.
It was a 1 minute one.
That wasn't. It was not ending. You're like, I know how to tell time. Lou goes out of his way to ruin the professional sound of this show. Beatings for you.
I do not.
Yes, you do. But that's where we're at, Cahuilla, California. It's due east, about 40 miles of Visalia on Highway 198. Visalia, the shooting gallery. They had like four shootings and a stabbing last night there. It's getting bad all over. And what are the cops doing in Visalia and Fresno? Setting up roadblocks, stopping and seizing cars for not having proof of insurance or registration. 47 cars in Visalia were seized at the same time. Four people were shot and one person was stabbed. And they got five DUIs out of that. They say it's a DUI check, but why are they seizing cars? What's wrong with our policy enforcers? Any cops listening out there? Shame on you.
Yes.
It's pathetic. Pathetic. So arm yourselves. The cops are a joke, ladies and gentlemen. I know I used to be one and I quit because I saw they were a joke from the inside. During the break, Lou was, and I were wondering what the next phase of shooting techniques they're going to train our soldiers. And Lou said, well, let's just go back to instinctive shooting.
Point shooting,
then instinctive shooting, then reactive shooting, then reflective. But everybody will be dead, so they'll think it's new.
Combat-focused shooting, they called it, too.
Yeah, combat-focused shooting was another one. And they'll just keep recycling it and tweaking it and changing it a little bit. And it's just sad and stupid. And we thought, you know, we should come up with the next one. It should be like, what can we come up with? Like, crazed maniac-focused shooting or something. We should market it and sell it. We could probably become millionaires. The military would buy it. It's got to sound good. It's like, you come up with an acronym like GAS CAP and have every letter stand for something. I don't know. You know how governments think. Okay. Homie shooting, Warland says. Yeah, we'll take that where you stick your hand way up in the air and you shoot it at an angle.
We'll make it so somehow you can get it accurately.
Yeah, and or you can, like that movie where you spin the gun so you make the bullet bend. They'll come up with something stupid and everybody will pay millions of dollars to integrate it into our combat tactics for the military. And, you know, I just like one man, one rifle, fear him. It's just the way it goes. I mean, the reason Yamamoto never invaded the mainland of the United States, even though he was bugged and bugged and bugged by the Japanese command, he said behind every blade of grass there would be a rifle. We would be slaughtered in the streets. Every window there would be a citizen with a gun. That's why America, it's amazing it's lasted as long as it did with the stupidity leading it, is because the people. As much animosity as I have toward the average American now, at least they're armed. I mean, there's like, what, 17? I don't know, I'm just going to throw out. There's 17 guns for every kid born in America or something today. It's some weird statistic, and they've got good ones, you know, and bad ones. But we're well-armed, and we're angry, and we focus on an enemy. And that tends to be how they get us out of depressions, recessions, deflation, inflation. They focus us on fighting. There was something else I was going to talk about in the training. Larry Wick. I haven't heard from him today. He's in Alaska, and maybe the phones are frozen. But we're going to, in late April, early May, we're going to have probably a Friday, Saturday, or Thursday, Friday class, depending on what he'll do. It's going to be $150. I have to know you and get to know you and be able to vouch for you to get you in this class. He does not want to teach this to some street thug who's going to go shake down, you know, grannies at the ATM, because he will hunt you down and kill you after he goes to court to get you convicted. He's kind of like a Chuck Norris light, this Larry Wick guy. He even looks like him.
He does.
He's kind of like...
Like an older... Brother.
Yeah, like... You really want to say bad things about Larry Wick on the radio? You really want to... What if he's listening? You're going to disrespect a man who's going to come in here and train you after I told him you were respectable. Yeah, he could be Chuck Norris's brother. He just seems like that kind of guy, but he seems to be a lot more humble than Chuck Norris. I mean, it's really good. So Sunday after church, Lewis put together a little demo video. Is how many minutes long?
Like 5 or 6.
It started out showing all these other martial arts from TV shows, you know, like on the Sci-Fi Channel, Learning Channel, and that kind of stuff. And Lou put a graphic up that said a CG that said, "Do you think this would work in a street fight?" Is that?
Yeah.
And it's showing guys breaking boards, doing spinning kicks, and these wrist locks, and all this kind of stuff. It was really pretty cool, and everybody's like, "Ooh, ah."
Aikido,
the guys wearing the puffy pants, throwing each other around. And bless you, Miss Stacy. And then it cuts to Larry Wick, where he talks about the paradigm shift. Says there's three different kinds of people in the world. People think they know how to... I'm going to paraphrase. People who think they know how to fight, people who have never been in a fight, and people who have actually seen blood and guts and had brains on their face after they've had to deal with people. And his fighting system is for... I don't want to say reality-based, because that sounds like that other guy. But it's basic, and it's boiled down, and it makes sense. So we showed, you know, how he just takes really big guys, and, you know, he tries to do all these wrist locks and throws, and he can't do it. These guys are, you know, 6'5", 300 pounds, look like an angry biker version of Santa, and multiple attackers, guns, knives. There's nothing you're going to do, no technique you're going to use is going to keep you from getting killed. And also his attitude is you have no right to assume that you're only in a fight with one person. Always assume there's multiple attackers, and always assume he's armed, and always assume he's going to kill you. Now, you don't always have a right to use deadly force until you see that weapon. It's a paradigm. I love what happened in the demonstration. So he goes through and he shows this, where mostly you target the neck and throat, sometimes the groin, but the goal is to always break the action by temporarily disabling them if deadly force isn't necessary, and then leaving the area. So I had Lou come up and grab my arm, and I go, "Do I have the right to kill Lou?" And one guy in the front row goes, "Yeah." And Lou had a really funny remark for him I can't share, but I loved it. And I said, "No, you don't have the right to kill him." So then I give Lou a knife, and he opens it, acts like he's going to plunge it into my face. I go, "How about now?" "Yeah, I have the right to kill Lou."
People thought we were going to do like a demonstration.
Yeah, they thought we were going to do like a live knife demonstration. And so I popped him in the throat and sent him flying. My throat is still sore from when we did that. We were punching, like a tenth the speed.
It's not a punch, though.
Well, it's a strike. Let's say strike. Yeah, you don't punch. There are no punches, no kicks, no sweeps, no throws, nothing like that. It's splitsecondsurvival.com. Splitsecondsurvival.com. His website doesn't have a whole lot of demo stuff on it, but trust me, you want to be part of this. And we'll announce it as soon as I find a date. We need 25 people to do this. 25 people. Check it out right there. Lou just popped it up in there. SplitSecondSurvival.com. SplitSecondSurvival.com. And it's something worth looking at to augment with your militia. Teach your wife. Teach your kid. He prefers to teach like little old ladies. He prefers to have, you know, it's awesome. Using a comb, a pen. And Stacy, for my birthday, ordered me this really awesome tactical pen. I can't wait to go after Lou with it when it comes in. We'll train with that pen, Lou. Yeah, oh, and I got a ShamWow headset for my phone. If you know who Vince from ShamWow is, it's like the one side headpiece when he's doing the presentation. You know that guy who bites the tongues off prostitutes, I found out? Vince, he does. He got arrested for it. The Vince from ShamWow, but my phone, I can hook into it. And the reason we did that is so if I'm ever late getting here, I can just call Liberty Tree Radio and at least get the second hour on through Liberty Tree Radio by calling them with the headset and the good phone that we have now. Because you never know, we could break down. We've broken down before, and I hate to leave you guys hanging for a show, because it's always hard to build the show back up. If I miss a day, just like today, there's only 7 people in here, you know, because I didn't do a Friday show. And it's like a fickle audience. They forget I'm here. People forget about me. I'm like that weird uncle that you put out on the balcony so he can get some fresh air, and then 3 days later you realize he's been eaten by pigeons because, you know, you just don't think about him. But, you know, But you are in his inheritance and his will, so maybe that's why you put him out there on the balcony. So you should take good care of him. He's still your relative. That's me, Uncle Dutchie, that way. But anyway, getting back to the Larry Wick thing, I highly encourage you guys, if you're interested, to check that out. You can go to our Facebook page. You can go just find a way to contact me if you're interested in it. I'll talk to you. You know, I got to get to know you. I've got a lot of listeners that I've never even heard from before. This is a great opportunity for you to get to rub elbows with the Joneses. If you're jonesing to hang out with the Joneses, as Lou said in, before we went on the air, that's your chance to do it. Come train with us. And you may be going, but I'm so far away. Oy. There's hotels and stuff up here. Make a vacation out of it. There's all kinds of cool stuff. You know, I don't know if you can go kayaking or anything in the river this time of year, but, you know, go jump in the river, see if you can survive hypothermia. Make a survival week out of it, you know. Come up here, wrestle the bears, do something. You know, so many people just sit back and keep saying, tomorrow I'm going to learn how to survive. Tomorrow I'm going to learn how to fight. Tomorrow I'm going to learn, I'm going to go get some food and put it in a 55-gallon drum and bury it in my basement. Tomorrow never comes, brothers and sisters. It never comes. Every day you got to do something for the cause. And I know it's tough when it's freezing here and somebody has to get up and start the fire. Yeah, it's Central California, but it still gets down into the 20s at night. I know you're all laughing at me. I used to survive in like 50 below zero temperatures. I'd probably drop dead now if I went back to the high mountains of Colorado or the plains where we get, you know, with a wind chill factor 70 below zero. It's funny, every time I tell that story, it gets colder. When a New Year's Eve hunting and our vehicle broke down, I don't know what the wind chill factor really was, but I know I got frostbite and hypothermia that day. Okay, watch all the cables, Lewis. I don't know why you insist on weaving your feet. Oh, there you go. Back up. You cannot stick your feet up into the soundboard. Okay, that's it. Just stop doing it. Just stay away from them. Don't put your feet up there anymore. It's too dangerous. We don't want you to knock the soundboard or computers down, okay? Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
You picking up what I'm putting down?
Mm-hmm.
Are you harvesting what I'm planting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Now, when you do break the soundboard and I make you pay for it, you can't think, well, you didn't tell me. Nobody said I couldn't break the soundboard. Folks. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Survivalblog.com. Type it in there. Survivalblog.com. I'm going to spend a little time on this because over the years, every well-meaning, serious, newbie, dedicated, anybody that knows anything about prepping or wanting to survive Teotihuacan, or however you want to say it, the end of the world as we know it, whether you're waiting for the pole shift, whether you're waiting for 2012, whether you think it's going to be little green men from Anunnaki. Yeah, now I'm stepping on it. See, now I'm doing what Lou was doing. It doesn't matter to me. But if you want to survive the tidal waves, the earthquakes, whatever, the end of the world as we know it, you've got to go to survivalblog.com. And I'm constantly going there at least once or twice a week. Minuteman goes there, and he'll say, hey, did you hear about this? Did you see that? Good, 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 good stuff. They're pushing the Royal Berkey water filter. That's the only problem I have with them. I need to send them some information on our water filters. And by the way, if you need a water filter, contact us. They're a third the price of the Berkeys. They last five times as long. They're more portable. They don't look as pretty as a big silver bullet sitting on your counter. But I don't care about looks. I care about function and the survivability of my family. Yeah, the Berkey's when you want to have ladies over for tea for bridge. You want to get a real survival filter? You call us and we'll get you a Sawyer brand water filter. You need something for your whole cabin, your survival RV? We got that too. That's a live commercial right there. You just go to dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. You click on store, S-T-O-R-E, on the little menu that Lou put up there. And you start looking at stuff there, and you find out what it is you need. You contact us. We'll get it shipped to you. That's how we make our living, folks. That's why we stay on the air, because we're not getting the donations. I mean, oh, okay, who donated over the weekend? Who sent us some money, Stace?
Hellbilly.
It's Hellbilly? Who knew? Thank you, Hellbilly. We appreciate that. God bless you. Anyway, back to, and now back to our regular scheduled programming. They got stuff up there on Egypt right now. They've got all kinds of stuff here. You've got to check this out. You can even do it while you're listening to me and just start reading through the stuff. Maybe give you an idea to call in. You never know. He takes submissions from all kinds of people to write stuff for him. He's got ads for everything. Everything you could possibly imagine, this is the place to start. You could spend a whole day reading this and not even get one-tenth of the information. Now, Minuteman, you told me about some stuff that I did want to, you know, that we should look at today. Where's Minuteman? I got to get back in the room. I'm trying to find it on here. I can't find the thing on the TA-50. I'm looking. Where was it? Why is this important? Survival blog fiction. One point tactical. He's talking about what he does is he rewards people who submit articles to him, too. So if you feel like writing a little survival thing, you could do that. Is he saying where it is?
No.
Okay. Minuteman, you got to give me a hand here. I'm on survivalblog.com, and I don't see the article you were referring to. I see a bunch of other articles. All kinds of stuff on here. And, oh, and speaking of end of the world news, those 200 cows from like Iowa that dropped dead the other day and everybody thought it was part of the pole shift or HAARP or something, now they're claiming that they ate bad sweet potatoes and they got a bad mold that created a neurotoxin that killed them. Makes me worry about those kind of things, so I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it's happening all over the world. And then some stuff I checked out last night also. If you listen to Coast like I do, they got some new guy on.
Hello.
Yeah, they got some new guy on there. And he was talking about the pole shift, which I've studied. I studied under in Colorado State University. What was his name? Can't remember his name right now. Jeff Amey, G-E-O-F-A-M-E-Y. And he studied archaeomagnetism as far as dating tree rings and things like that. And normally over massive periods, like every 100 years, every century, the North Pole shifts 8 degrees. It goes like in a figure, 8 degrees, a few degrees in a figure 8. It oscillates. We're like a wobbly top going through space. Well, in the last few weeks, compasses have gone off many degrees momentarily. There have been all kinds of weird fluctuations in the world's electromagnetic field. So maybe... Because, of course, scientists say, well, every 300,000 years the poles flip. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm like 300,000 years. So it's been over 800,000 years, they say, since the last time the poles flipped, at least according to this guy. I keep hearing ringing.
Do you have this down all the way?
Yeah, good. I was getting echo back from that monitor. And, no, I don't know if that's true or not, but if things are getting weird, sure. That would cause birds to fall out of the sky, and when they hit the ground, they would get blunt force trauma. Somebody's saying they died from blunt force trauma. I'm like, well, at first people are saying, well, maybe they flew into something. Maybe it was fireworks. Maybe they flew into each other. Well, if they suddenly lost their direction and they just dropped out of the sky, doesn't gravity cause blunt force trauma? So, you know, that's going on. Birds,
BFT.
Fish. Huh?
BFT,
blunt force trauma. Grievous bodily harm. GBH cause to it, so that's
Web
something
gear
there.
Basics.
Huh?
Web Gear Basics, training and practical tactics.
Okay, Web Gear Basics. Let me see if I can find this one, because I did want to talk about this, because it sounds like a good thing. Okay, I'm looking up. Is that on the left menu? I guess that is. Let me look here. Nope, it's not right there. Is there a search engine here? Yeah, let me do Web Gear Basics. Okay, hang on here, people. Boom. Looking for it. Searching. This guy has had 26 million unique visits since July of 2005 on his website. Okay, here's Web Gear Basics by Jeff J. They never use their last name. And it's a good little article here. I was looking at it just before the show, and then I lost it. And it goes into how to set up your web gear, what should go on it. So many people, and I don't want you to think that I'm pushing this because we sell the stuff on the website, you don't need a tactical vest. Sometimes just some old, you know, H harnesses or Y harnesses with a pistol belt and everything on there is all you need. When we went up and did our training with Rudy for patrol actions, we talked to Jim, a Vietnam veteran, who was, you know, talking about how much gear you need going into the field. And we were talking with Steve over the weekend. You would spend 4 hours going a half a mile, waiting on a trail, reporting back what you saw and coming back in. You don't bring a 3-day patrol pack with you. You bring a butt pack, maybe a broken down MRE in it, A lot of times, Steve, when he was going out on hunter-killer missions, and you hear him talk about those on Tuesdays, and maybe I'll bring it up tomorrow when he talks, he wouldn't even bring a radio. You just let everybody know where you're at, and you're sneaking in, you're sneaking out. You go in, you take out some Viet Cong, you come out. Now, I always say that the problem with most generals, they fight the last war. So we don't want to do everything exactly the way they did it. But some good web gear with a fanny pack and a first aid kit, a couple canteens, 10 magazines, 200 rounds, a compass, water purification tablets, insect repellent, your weapon, a knife, maybe a pistol if that's what your SOP calls for. And you go out and you go hunting. You don't have to wear big bag. I got the call today from an email from a friend today. Hey, we're looking at these new digitals, this one or that one. I don't even remember what they were called because I don't care. I don't like digital. I don't want to be a guinea pig for new stuff. Find something that's true, tried and true for your area. Go get hunting camouflage and some web gear, and you're good to go. You're a militia. You're a guerrilla fighter. You know, headgear, camouflage, some gloves, some long sleeve T-shirts. Like what I'm wearing right now, I call it Walmart flage. I don't know the actual name of it, but I bought it at Walmart. I wore this shirt with a pair of, right in the picture that's up right now. It's the same shirt. And I don't use 3D. Is that what this one is?
Yeah.
It's called what?
Fusion 3D.
Fusion 3D. The picture that was just up a few seconds ago of me standing there, that's the shirt I'm wearing with a pair of Tiger Flage pants that I wear because they work great in the... There again, you'll see in the group shot there.
No, you're wearing the jacket.
I'm wearing the jacket over... Yeah, I'm wearing Tiger Camouflage. People go, why are you wearing jungle camouflage in Central California? There's another good picture of me. Because in pine needles, it blends in great. And just a few miles from here, we're in pine needles. So I like to wear my camouflage, make sure I know it. It's just like a pair of boots. Don't have a brand new pair of boots under your bed and then say, well, I'll wear them when I need to. No, I cycle my stuff through. You'll see in the pictures there, I've got knee pads, I got a tactical vest. But for that, we overdressed for that class. We went into it thinking, let's go there and bring what we have. What we really needed was one canteen, maybe a fanny pack, and our airsoft weapons to patrol, and that was it. Yeah, web gear is great, especially what's funny is, and I would differ a little bit with you there, Minuteman, because for garrison defense, a tactical web vest, like for a let's just say SWAT guy, tactical vest makes all kinds of sense in the world. But if you're going to be out hunting and you want lightweight, you want less noise, you don't want things snagging on stuff, web gear is a way to go. And the old cotton World War II stuff, there's all kinds of Austrian Greek stuff out there for sale. We haven't looked at it for a while. But there's all kinds of stuff out there that's real quiet. Real quiet. And it's easy to take care of. And the dirtier it gets, you know what? The more it blends in. You know, the modern stuff with the Velcros and the snaps make a lot of noise. But the stuff with the clasps, you know, they're like a little, like a old luggage type clasp that just, not like luggage, I'm trying to think of the word. We have fabric that fits through a crossbar and a notch. And you know what I'm talking about. And they're very quiet, very easy to get to. They're very practical, and they're cheap. You need to equip 10 people, go buy 10 tactical vests for $60, $70, $80, $150 each. Or you can buy 10 sets of web gear. It's a place to start. And now if you've already got all your web gear, don't forget about, excuse me, web gear, tactical vests and everything. Web gear is a good way to go. Some of the, I'm trying to think of like the SKS stuff where everything's in front. That's great if you're not going to be doing a lot of low crawling. A lot of these guys I see, they show up with the SKS harness rigs. Well, what if you're crawling around? You're going to be dragging that through the dirt. I like stuff on my back to the rear. People will put their pistol mags and everything in the front on these tactical vests. You'll be dragging your gear through the dirt. But if you're in a garrison scenario where you're hiding behind man-made barricades, you're in bunkers, tactical vest makes all the sense in the world. But think about hunting a deer or a two-legged moose. You're not going to want a whole bunch of stuff on it. People go, well, I need all my gear. I need all this. Well, when you've really been in combat, you know, you'll go 2 or 3 days without food just because of nerves. You'll drink a lot of water. You got to have water. You can live a long time without food and still function. And if you know the terrain, you can live off of it. for me, if, you know, there's no way I'm going to carry 4,000 calories a day and going into combat. It's just not going to happen. So that's not my role. These young guys like Lou and stuff that are actually going to go in and do this stuff, they have to get their mindset that, okay, I'm going to bring 5 packs of oatmeal, some meat patties, and a bunch of hard candy. And I'm going to survive, you know, 3 days on this, but I'm ready to go a week if I have to. You know, comfort's good. I love talking about comfort. Why do without it when you can bring it? But as you add all these comforts in, I'm having kind of a paradigm shift here as I'm getting older and fatter. You know, you want to be able to get from point A to point B before everybody else gets there. So sometimes the best thing to do is a good old fanny pack. Vitamins, things like that, energy pills. I'm not talking about speed. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like vitamin B12, B6, those kind of things. Augment what you got. Steve Klein was telling us a story about how the mission went longer than they wanted it to, and he ended up drinking rice paddy water until they could get relieved. Unfiltered, untreated. They survived. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to be on Liberty Tree Radio. So it'll be Liberty Tree Radio, Stronghold Radio. We're going to talk about what's going on over there in Egypt. My opinions on it. It's not going to be, you probably haven't heard it anywhere else because I'm doing this in a vacuum. And I want you to call in and tell us what you think. We'll be right back after this break on Stronghold Radio, Liberty Tree Radio, with the Dutch Jones radio program. I know a man who lives way up in Idaho, whose sole desire was only to be left alone. One day he sold a so-called friend a gun. One day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down, it's all around. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and crosshairs of their guns at me and you. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm, I saw the lawless law there flex its long, mean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place. Some got what they deserve. It's coming down, it's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue. I bet they're think they're fooling me and you. Now foreign troops, they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither and coil. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up to fund this tyranny. It's coming down, it's in your town. The New World Order training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in blue and black, like the vicious dogs they are.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going
to
call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And we're here. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live from the Church at Kaweah from Central California, right outside the gates of Kaweah National Park, behind the lines of the People's Republic of California, reaching out to you Monday through Friday when we can. We didn't have a Friday show, but we would like to welcome all of our Liberty Tree radio listeners that are tuning in right now. We're carrying over our Stronghold radio listeners who listen on Ustream over there. And I don't know if I see, are we hooked up yet? You see him in there? I can't see everybody. That's kind of weird. You see more people than I do. So welcome, Ed. Thank you very much. If you would like to co-host with Lou, Lou, agree to the co-host. We appreciate everything you do. Okay, Minuteman says he's bringing Mary to the wedding, Debbie. Okay, good, good, good. That's all code. That actually means that he's bringing his favorite lever-action rifle to the training, everyone. I'm just going to let you know that. So there is no wedding. We just call trainings weddings, and we have our own communication system.
What do we call weddings?
What do we call weddings? Shoot 'em up fests. That's what we call weddings, shoot 'em up fests. And that's what we, you know, that way nobody will know really what's going on. In fact, I get confused and I help come up with the codes. So we try to bring you the militant Christian worldview from our little separatist section up here. No, we're not racial separatists. We're Christian separatists, not meaning we've completely pulled out of the world, but we've decided that the cities are too icky. They're too smelly. The cops are too nasty. The dregs are too bag. The dregs are too dreggy. And we've decided to pull back to the mountain community as Jesus commanded us to run to the hills in a time of strife. Don't look back. If you're on the rooftop, just run. Well, we didn't want to get to that point. We left with our knapsacks and all that, and we're storing stuff up here at the church at Kaweah. If you tune in Tuesdays, you'll hear Steve Klein in this slot where I facilitate him presenting Code 20, where he talks about small unit tactics, cell warfare, brings to you what's going on with the threat of Islam. No, we're not talking about how great the war on terrorism is or how planes flew into the two Twin Towers. We don't get into that. We don't believe that. But we know that the Muslims are a tool of the New World Order, just like all the other evil, vile dens of deception are. So that's the angle we take. So stop writing me letters about how Muslims didn't take down the Twin Towers. I don't even get into that. That's not the type of show you want to hear that. Go listen to that other Jones guy. That's not what I talk about. I just talk about basic stuff and Christianity and how to get two or three families together and organize to protect yourselves. That's just the way we do it. Hate to bring bad news to you guys, but have you heard anything about this? Oh, that doesn't even look good looking at it. Let me click on it and see what it is. Bad news, you know, it's okay if you're bringing bad news. Let's see, Cryptagon.com versus Julie, I can't read it all now. Let's see, Russian linguist previously associated with U.S. Army Intelligence and wife of U.S. Army Intelligence Colonel. I'm going to read this real fast here. I trust anything that comes to us here. Julie Powers Schenecker, Russian linguist, previously associated with U.S. Army Intelligence and wife of U.S. Army Intelligence Colonel, who's mainly responsible for the National Security Agency support to military operations, shot and killed her two children in Florida. Wow. there is just some weird stuff going on. I'm not going to watch the video because we don't have the bandwidth, but there is some scary, scary stuff going on. You know, we had that guy who was a military bio guy, advisor to the Reagan Bush regime, turns up in a dump somewhere, you know, blunt trauma to the head. Things are getting weird out there, folks. And it plays along. I'm sorry to, you know, that's okay. That's okay, Ed. I don't mind sharing that. We're going to see more of these weird loose end things tied up, folks. All kinds of loose ends are being tied up. You got Hitlery over in North Africa, specifically Egypt, Tunisia. Was it Yemen was the other one? Instigating the Muslim Brotherhood to overthrow and destabilize the areas. Because what happens with instability? Oh, here comes Uncle Sam. Instigate World War III. Let's smack that hornet's nest. In the video, she looks and sounds like she's doped up. Yeah, see, that's what they're thinking happened to this other guy, and I can't remember his name right now off the top of my head because I didn't prepare for that. But you guys know what I'm talking about. It was like Connecticut or wherever, and he ended up in a dumpster and then dumped into a landfill, and they found him. The video showing him prior to that, he was wandering around with his shoe in his hand looking like he was drugged. I'm telling you, this is a follow-up to Iran-Contra. Every other conspiracy you can imagine, and they're starting to snip up these loose ends. Something's going to happen. Something. They're getting ready for something. Anybody that can say anything about anything will probably start disappearing. A lot of his gun went off while he was cleaning it. This colonel with 30 years experience, 5 tours of duty in combat, accidentally shot himself in the face. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to see a lot more of those. Just like I told you when I was talking about the riots in Tunisia, this isn't going to stop. This democracy movement in the Muslim nations, that's what they like to call it. I saw the same thing in Central America. John Wheeler, thank you, Warlin. John Wheeler was the name of the guy who last, January, he disappears and then turns up in a dump. When I was in Central America, and pretend I never went there. No, I've never been to Central America. You just study all of that. They went in and destabilized these countries and put in their own drug lords, Noriega. They're doing the same. They do the same thing over and over again. They don't change their plan book. It seems their study book. Their plays at their playbook. They don't change their playbook. I was reaching for a word there. And it's funny because, and I'm just going to get right into it. It's perfect for this. I've been listening to the radio for all weekend when we weren't doing the code 20 training and training all those nice little old ladies to shoot people in their house when they invade. But you had to listen to the first hour to know what we're talking about, folks. They were talking, it was funny, the media, when they were talking about Cairo, I was hearing reports, local militias have organized to protect communities and homes because the students are running rampant and killing, 100 people have been killed, they're tearing the heads off mummies. They kept saying, local militias, and then all of a sudden, they stopped reporting on what the violence the students were doing. And then Hillary steps in, this is a democracy movement. Somebody called the state-controlled media and said, stop depicting these students as villains and stop using that word militia. They were even playing sound bites from these people on the street because everybody speaks English in the world but us in America. And these Arab men, I don't know what their backgrounds were, if they were Copt Christians or whatever. And they're like, oh no, the army's not helping us. The police have abandoned. We have to defend ourselves with clubs and machetes. One guy had a chain. We put together this militia to defend our community. Now they're saying, oh, these ad hoc security groups are protecting. And then they're showing that the police return to their stations, and the army's maintaining order. Everything changed at about midnight, the one night I was listening. I'm like, they stopped using the term militia. They're saying that these guys are good guys, that they're not cutting the heads off people. Yeah, Hitler, he does look like a mummy, Warlin. And now they're saying, see, we're trying to instill democracy, I like to call it. This is how they've done it. This is how they did it in Guatemala. It's how they did it in Colombia. It's how they did it in El Salvador. I feel like that guy in Red Dawn. El Salvador. Sambo, which is, for those of you that don't know, Sambo is Spanish for Kampuchea. Kampuchea is Cambodia with Pol Pot. It's the same old plan, folks. They go in and destabilize. I mean, who knows? Maybe they don't like the current dictator of Egypt. Yeah, I called him a dictator. He's been leaving Israel alone, so they need somebody to agitate Israel a little bit to stir the pot, right? Mm-hmm. Telling you, the Muslim Brotherhood is behind all of this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some media places are saying that, but I knew that before the rioting even started because the people I talk to know this kind of stuff. I'm not an expert in this. I just talk to experts. I shut up and listen. Remember what we were talking about in the first hour? Shut up and listen and you'll learn more. And it's funny. Hillary's behind all of it. The stuff going on in the Ivory Coast. The stuff going on in Somalia. All around the globe, they're needing to drum this up. Things were getting quiet. So now what's going to happen? You have the Muslim Brotherhood. Let's say they get hold in Tunisia, Yemen, and Egypt, if that's how the New World Order wants it, whoever it is. I don't care if it's the Jew World Order or the New World Order. You know, pick it. I don't care about those distinctions. Evil is evil. Iran's now going to have a bunch more allies. Because right now everybody's saying, oh, Iran, leave it alone. It's not hurting anybody. They can't. I mean, their president's a joke. Ahmadinejad looks like an angry Ringo Starr on a bender. But now that if he gets some Muslim Brotherhood nation started up, and it may not be right away, it'll take 6-7 months before they take over, just like they did. Now, if you guys remember, and I remember this because I was alive, when Iran fell, when the Shah was deposed, it looked good at first. You know, there's a little bit of freedom in there, and we just kept supporting the Shah in that one. And then the Khomeini guy came in. And then it turned into hell on earth for the Iranians. They'll do the same thing in these countries. And everybody's saying, oh, this is freedom, this is liberty. There's several things that you have to look at here. And as always, the pattern, they play by the same playbook. We've got to use the same reaction to it with some twists. Okay, oil prices are going up. I don't think we get all that much oil from Egypt. Correct me if I'm wrong, better learned listeners than I. But why would that matter what happens in Egypt? And also, the other thing is, what are they hiding? What was going on in Egypt before all this started? They were burning Christians alive. They were bombing Christians. They were shooting Christians. They were killing Christians. The focus, everything was going like, what is the State Department going to do about this? Why are we letting Muslims kill Christians? Why are we in Afghanistan and Iraq? You know, if it was for the oil, why aren't we seeing the dividend? That's just a little side right there. We should be getting barrel after barrel of oil free from Iraq, but we're not. That war was never for oil. It's a distraction. What's going on in the American economy? What's happening in America's politics right now? What a great way to shift it. Oh, let's all cheer for the little Democratic students. Remember when that Iranian, I didn't mean to laugh, but it just I laugh at how they get away with this stuff. That Iranian female that got shot in the face and they plastered it all across the internet. And everybody's like, oh, those poor students. Those were Muslim Brotherhood people. The Muslim Student Association, their direct cousins overseas. That's the other thing. He turned off the internet. There's so much to learn from this. Cell phones and internet dumped. And then they're all bragging, well, people are using dial-up. Well, let's just turn those phones off. They're calling out of the country and getting on the internet and getting information out. Don't rely on the internet as a form of communications for resistance, people. It's a great way to recruit and train right now when we've got the grace. But if Egypt can push a button, can you only imagine what Obongo's got on his desk? What he's got that he can turn everything off with? And then China. China is blocking all of the news about these student democracy protesters because they don't want their students getting any ideas. Oh, what a wicked web we weave whence we practice to deceive. And oh, and everybody's crying about the mummies. That's right, I see freedom. Oh, King Tut almost got gang raped by a bunch of students for democracy. I don't know. They saved the mummy, but I guess the statue got its head torn off and everything. Oh, the outrage. Remember when they were looting Iraq? Everybody was all mad at the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You're not doing anything to protect the museum. It's kind of like when Southeast LA, when some white guy, a cop, shoots a black guy, and all the blacks come out and they burn down their own grocery stores and their own libraries and their own businesses. Muslims are no better. They're going to kill their own neighbors. And these are different kinds of Muslims against other different kinds of Muslims. And what's happening with all the Americans there? Oh, they're trying to get out. They can't get them out. The first one's got to, like, Crete or something. They got sent out of the... I can't remember the name of the island now. It's where all the tin mines were off the coast of Israel out there in the Med. And there's something that I haven't heard anybody mention. What about the canal? Is it the Suez Canal there? Another canal that American ingenuity built. And now it's going to fall to some maniac tyrant, Muslim tyrant in a few months because we wanted to get the current president out of there, Mubarak. Now, you guys remember Mubarak's had several coups at him. I remember seeing that video over and over again when I was in the Army. I remember them showing it to us, how his own officers rebelled against him and threw grenades at him and shot him up and killed everybody but him, basically, in the reviewing stand on their military day. So now you've got the border with Israel that's going to be destabilized. You've got the Suez Canal. Oh, there go American interests. We better send in the fleet. We got to protect that canal, or you're going to have a Jimmy Carter replay where he just gives it over anyway. It's not ours. Just let the Arabs have it. I mean, it's not technically ours now, but you know what I'm saying. You picking up what I'm putting down, peeps? You know, hello to the new boss, same as the old boss. They're not doing anything new here. So don't focus too heavily on this Africa maniacal situation going on. Keep an eye on what's happening domestically. I messed that one up. Oh, yeah. You know, what's going to happen is if and I see Freedom's got this good down, if Egypt falls, 6 months it goes radical Muslim, oh, boy, we better help Israel. Because now they're completely surrounded. I heard Syria, the students are acting up, too. I've been reading a little bit about that. You see that going on in Syria? Next thing, Lebanon. There'll be some stuff in Lebanon. And, oh, our 51st state's going to be right in the middle of the cauldron. We better send in the Marines so we can put 600 of them in barracks and have 200 and some of them murdered again. Hopefully I don't have that number wrong, but blown up by a fuel truck suicide bomber. Beirut. I remember the 80s. Do you remember the 80s? I remember the 80s. Lou, do you remember the 80s?
I remember the TV show, the 80s.
There was a TV show called the 80s?
The 80s.
I remember the 80s was a TV show.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the TV show. I remember the 80s, but I remember the actual 80s. But folks, they're rattling our chains. They're distracting us. And meanwhile, our borders here are open. We're inviting hundreds and hundreds of Muslim students in every day that overstay their visas. We've got foreign trade zones being activated all around us. Our commander in chief is doing all kinds of maniacal things to destroy the Constitution. There are victories. There are victories. We had our victory last month when the judge threw out the ammo ban and ammo control act. Ammo control act, so we can get ammo here in California. Florida, let's all praise the Florida whatever level court. I don't care if it was appellate or supreme or whatever. State Supreme Court, District Court, shot down Obamacare and other states to follow. These are all things that we should thank the Lord for, and we should understand His glory. But what they're trying to do, what every libtard and whatever, it doesn't matter, I don't go parties, what every evil government has done, if you're in a financial crisis, you got to trigger a great big war, put everybody to work, kill off your excess population. Hundreds of thousands die on battlefields that we'll never remember the name of 50 years ago, and we can all argue over what the flag design is going to look like for our remembered dead. Yeah, I read that article too. But you cannot base a free republic nation based on the Ten Commandments, on Sharia law. All it is a distraction. Don't buy into it. But what they're really trying to do is they're doing a little trimming of the vine. They're going to mow the lawn. They're going to harvest some things that need to be harvested and move some stuff around. Let's see. Liberty Tree Radio. If the crew of the Liberty hadn't pulled through that betrayal, we would have been over there sooner. Yeah, we'd have been invading. This is the debacle of the USS Liberty, them trying to correct that decades later. Yeah, that's right. Very good point, Liberty Tree Radio. Ed. I assume it's Ed. I like to say Ed, like Johnny Carson would. I can't do it, but I would like to be able to do it. Man, my throat still hurts, Lou. We were doing a fight. Oh, we were doing a demonstration for the church on some fighting techniques, and we got a little eager, and he punched me in the throat. I think I got you pretty good, too, though.
Did I hurt you with the pen?
No, I don't think it was the pen, because it's on both sides here of my... My larynx. My larynx.
My windpipe. My
voice box. Yeah. Stacy used the pen. Lou used the Larry Wick rolling strike, you know, to a fist. And man, my throat still hurts. I stayed quiet most of the day, but, you know, getting through it now, it's starting to hurt again. scared a lot of young people in the audience when they saw my son punch me in the throat. Well, not a punch, but strike. Lou gets mad. He goes, "It's not a punch. There's no punches in this system we're teaching."
If you do,
it'll... It's a strike. Yeah, you don't want a punch, a strike. So that's why my voice maybe sounded a little weird. Okay, Ed. Realize, as my good friend Fred Bader says, this stuff going over in North Africa, the Middle East, et al., both wars, is just the monkey banging on the cymbals in the corner while you're watching that monkey going, "Oh, what a cute little monkey. I'm being entertained now." Some guy's coming in and stealing your TV set. Only it's not a monkey and it's not a TV set. A lot of good people are going to die because of these decisions being made by these tyrants. And you've got to get your family ready, your church ready, your community, and that's about it. Don't worry about anything. You know, all this stuff about the nation, I know I may offend some people, especially on Liberty Tree Radio. I've given up on the nation. Restore the Republic, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's great. If God calls you to do that, keep doing it, but my neck of the woods is all that matters now. I'll train anybody, I'll share with anybody, I'll converse with anybody, I'll network with anybody, I'll trade intel with any other unit that's fighting for liberty and the holy cause of liberty across the country. But right now, my goal is to get as many of my kids and their kids through this coming calamity that they're setting up for us so we can rebuild little chunks and restore little republics, because these big behemoth republics, I don't think they're meant to be. Unless God blesses us to do that. And I know that offends people. I get all kinds of strange mail. "Oh, you've given up on America. You don't even use the old glory flag." Go ahead, Ed. We'll continue the show without you. Ed's got a blizzard coming, and he has to go shovel some global warming and bring in some wood to help melt all the global warming around. A little ice age, people. A little ice age is coming. Ed's got a point there. It's not as cold as it has been here, but we've had a really wet season.
It's supposed to freeze tonight.
Oh, it's supposed to freeze again tonight? Put another trash bag on the orange tree, honey. Better put another bag on the orange tree.
I think it's the coldest winter.
I wish I would have brought them. I need to get my trees down.
Yeah, we just need to get the trees down to the garden. We need to get them in the ground. We need to get them out of those 5-gallon buckets and get them in the ground. It's time to let go of the baby. Well, you line it with the gopher wire, and you stand out there 24 hours a day with a gopher poking stick. She's worried about the gophers getting her baby trees. Oh, this woman.
What?
They're plants. They're not people. We just plant them, water them, and leave it up to God.
And run away.
It's not like we're going to put Lou out covered in, you know, bear slobber and hope he doesn't get eaten by a bear. It's an orange tree. Do what you can to protect. Oh, a lemon tree. Oh, excuse me. You didn't tell me it was a lemon tree. Oh, no. We better build a greenhouse just for that. I'm not making fun of you. I'm having fun with you. Yes, it is. It's having fun at your expense. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing clear across the room in your direction. There is a difference, people. And the sooner you realize that, the happier your marriage will be, wives. We don't make fun of our wives. We laugh in their general direction. Border Guardian saying, he's heard that if men urinate in the gopher holes, the gophers leave, especially if they're in the hole when you're doing it. I have seen that practiced, actually, and gotten a few gophers doing that, but they don't really leave the area. They leave that hole.
For like a day.
For like a day, yeah. We've tried the bubble gum. We've tried... the only thing that works is poison and traps and due diligence. Well, 22, yeah. Shooting them, trapping them, and poisoning them. Cats are good. We have a few cats that catch them. Only problem is they like to bring them to the front door and go, "Look what I did." Yeah, they're like, "Look what we did." I guess eventually it'll get to the point where they become a food commodity and people will just start eating them. There's nothing wrong with eating gophers. They eat the plants and the roots, so they're good. It's not like the moles that eat grubs and stuff. So that they eat the plants, they eat the roots. So somebody's going to come up with some gopher recipe, and then we're going to be rich.
I have some from my ancestors. Yeah,
there's gopher recipes out there, and I like that scene in Oh Brother Where Art Thou when they stumbled on a whole gopher village.
Gopher wood.
Yeah, instead of Hollywood, we'll have gopher wood. If we could come up with a use for gophers, but they'd never let us market it. We just, in the paper today, They just seized a cheese outlet in... is it Prather?
I think Traver.
Traver, California.
Yeah, cheese
just hundreds and hundreds of tons of cheese because it was... it was, what's the word, made with raw milk.
Yeah, it wasn't homogenized.
They didn't homogenize it, so they went in with a SWAT team, USDA, and shut the whole place down. It was a tourist trap, basically. We'd been in there. I bought cheese. They said last year 30 people got sick on their cheese. I bought a burrito at the same place, a microwave burrito, and got sick on it. That has nothing to do.
At a gas station.
At the same gas station right there. Yeah. It was that one, that shell.
Oh, that shell. And then the shell.
Well, the shell over here almost killed me. So don't. So they're going after stuff here in California.
Yeah,
here's something that you got to notice too. They're hurting for money here so bad. They are basically coming to your house and saying, "We'll do your taxes for free. Is there anything we can do to help you?" They're running ads everywhere. They want everybody in California to file their taxes. They need every single stinking penny they can get out of us. So every code compliance, every code enforcement issue. They are doing everything they can to get every penny, so they're shutting down the raw milk places now. They used to just leave them alone here. Now they're going after them. Rather than worrying about the big, like, Tyson chicken places and stuff, you know, where people really get poison from, you know, the fields where the illegal aliens are pooping in them, no, they don't go there. They go to the guy that's got his little cheese factory along the side of the freeway that's been there for years. That thing's got to be at least 1950s. Everybody around here tells me, oh, yeah, we stop there and get cheese and get a sandwich, all kinds of stuff. And so they're doing that. The other thing that we're noticing, I talked a little bit about it in the first hour, and I didn't mean to, is that the town of Visalia, which is 40 miles to our west, which is the next biggest, it's probably 90,000 people, they had 4 shootings and a stabbing there last night, which isn't, you know, you're probably saying, well, big deal, I live in Michigan, I live in Chicago. That doesn't happen here. At the same time these shootings and stabbings were going on, you know where all the police were? They were on the main strip of Mooney Boulevard conducting vehicle searches. Random vehicle searches. Actually, it was random. It was 100% security check. They arrested 4 DUIs. It was on its face, it was a DUI check. They confiscated over 45 vehicles for failure to have proper paperwork. And issued thousands and thousands of dollars in fines, towing fees, storage fees. So while they're out being policy officers and going after raw milk because 30 people last year claimed to have gotten sick from the cheese, people are being shot and stabbed literally blocks away from where they had these checkpoints in Visalia, California. And guess what? The next town up, which is like 1 million people, called Fresno, same thing happened there. We're going to come back after the break. I'll give out the phone number. We're just going to have a generic Dutch Jones radio program, and we'll just see what we can talk about. Thank you for listening. Make sure you go to the DutchJones.info website, DutchJones.info website, and check out our water filters. Check out our donation widget there. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Well, I'll give up my gun when the ocean runs dry. I remember when fireworks were always a family affair. The whole town would turn up to join the event of the year. Well, there were crackers and sparklers and rockets and fountains and shells. When they took them away, they took some of our freedom as well. I'll give up my gun when the sun doesn't shine. Now I lock up my house, lock up my car and my shed. If I try to defend them, I'm likely to get locked up instead. Because the scumbags got lawyers and rights, so the law lets them be. While the honest hard-working gets shafted
fight to stay free. I'll give up my gun when the birds don't fly.
Come on, Bugsy. Let's go home. You're a good little fella. Come on, Drongo. Let's get the hell out of here. Come on, mate. You've done good. Your mother would be proud.
I'm very happy with me, Ed. Listen. Did you hear him?
Well, I'll give up my gun when the ocean runs dry. And I'll give up my gun when the sun doesn't shine. I'll give up my gun when the birds don't fly. I'll give up my gun when politicians don't lie.
G'day, Johnny, what are you doing?
Hey, I'm out walking, but what are you doing here with that gun?
I thought I took all the guns.
You didn't get them all, mate. You're not having this one.
I'm after you.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Okay. We are back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live. It is the 31st. It is a Monday of January 2011. I already tore down the January, so I looked at February. And we're coming to you on Liberty Tree Radio, Stronghold Radio here from the church at Kauia. Coming to you Monday through Friday. Don't forget, tomorrow is Steve Klein will be here with Code 20. And on Thursday, we'll have Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, where we'll continue our talks, well, his talks. I just sit here and nod and go, and add my little smart aleck remarks about the Christian Covenant community and the best way to, our theory on the best way to rebuild this nation is from the bottom up. Like I said, we've given up from the top down. We're separatists. We know we're not going to purify the country from the top down. It's just not going to work. So I hope you enjoy these things and make sure you tune in. It gives me a break, and I get to share with you the knowledge of better men than I that have been part of this church for, Steve over a decade, and the pastor, of course, his whole life from the 1960, 64. I think the church has been here 45 years. I think it's only a few months older than me. And it was funny because we found out the other day when they moved in, when Warren Lee moved in with his beautiful wife, Grandma. What's her real name? I just call her Grandma. Margaret, I always forget. I just call her Grandma. She's like Shirley Temple, 80 years old. She's beautiful. And when she was younger, she looked exactly like Shirley Temple. But she never became a delegate to the UN or anything. And she's spunky. She attacks me with seat cushions all the time. She tries to sword fight me with her cane when I use a cane. She tried to pour water on Stacy on Sunday. She wanted to have a water fight in the kitchen. And then, when they moved in, they built this little cabin kind of house thing right on the river. All the locals said, it's never flooded there. We've been here 180 years, never flooded. Boom, flood comes through, ruins her brand new stove. She said they'd never had a brand new stove or brand new beds before. And then there comes the flood. So they went through a lot to get this church established here. It's been through a lot. It's up and down and gone around in circles. As high as 250 members. Now we're down to about 35. Although Sunday at church we had 45 members, and only two of those were from the Code 20 training we did. Those were two other instructors. But we had a lot of spontaneous people coming in. The young people are coming in. It's amazing to me that 17- and 18-year-old young men from the community are coming into the church because
I think they like the militia part of it, but they're getting a huge dose of gospel too. They're sticking around for the hand to hand training and the platoon training and, you know, whatever we do. And everybody teaches a different thing. I'm not the only instructor here, but it's nice to see that we're being blessed for what we're doing, and that's why we stick to what we're doing. We're pulling back. We're not retreating. We're not going to sit here on our hands and wait for the world to come to an end. I know there's a bunch of songs like that. You know, it's the end of the world as we know it and all that stuff. But we're going to use this as a base of operations or move if we have to. We're looking for a deuce and a half. We want to buy a deuce and a half. Anybody that's got links for good deuce and a halves? Because we've got a bunch of elderly folks that we want to take with us. We want to honor our elderly. Because I tell you something, they may not be able to participate physically now, but when they help build this church, they help maintain the concept. And when there are those younger folks that don't have the money, the $100 a day to pay for training when we do that kind of thing, who do you think pays for it? We don't go to the county. We don't go to welfare. We don't go do all this stuff. Sometimes we have yard sales. But it's the older folks that'll say, hey, I know that this young man's going to be the one that's protecting me or protecting my grandson when the time comes. So we want to make sure that these warriors get the training they need. And the different thing I found out this weekend, I guess I've been misrepresenting it. I always say our militia is like 15 to 45 and I'm going to be out of it. I found out we don't have an age limit for our militia either way. That may be the constitutional militia, but I was told quite soundly that if you can fight, you can fight as long as you're male. The women will be defending the garrison, and I'll probably be one of the guys with the women, because nobody wants to haul my fat butt out if I twist an ankle or something. But and I'm working on that. I've been eating a lot of broccoli lately. A lot of salads. I'm afraid to weigh myself, but I can tell you my pants are fitting better. We're doing more exercise like we told you. We're not going to the gym anymore. So you guys can go, aw. That was a quick, it wasn't even a New Year's resolution. We did it like in October. But it just, we just don't have $50 to pay to the local gym. So we're just walking around up here. There's enough work around here. We got to get working on our chicken coop. We're taking a bunch of sheet metal or corrugated steel, rather out of the burn pile that we don't want anybody to burn. We're going to rebuild that chicken coop. I heard today from El Doctor via yelling from the background when Minuteman was talking to me that in Britain people are buying up rabbit hutches, 55-gallon plastic blue water barrels, you know, all kinds of stuff like that in these cities, and that's great. How are you going to feed a rabbit if you live in a city? Where are you going to gather it? I don't know the exact number anymore, but at one time I had over 200 rabbits when I was a kid in the 70s during that depression. And we would sell rabbits to our neighbors, you know, for a certain fee. I can't remember. I think it was $2 for a full-grown rabbit. We'd buy them for like 25 cents a piece as babies. And we fed them the junk we got out behind the grocery store, the lettuce, all the produce that they threw out almost every other day. Even in our small town, we got a lot of produce. But you can feed, like, hay, oat hay to them. But where are you going to get the hay from? Where are you going to get this produce that is being thrown out now because it's wasteful when, in a survival situation, nobody's throwing out anything, and that food's getting used for something else. Or they're selling it because the guy who manages the store, that's his store, and he's not going to give away any more of that produce. So for the cities to be doing that, I don't know what that would like. But those of us that are out in the country here, we get chickens. We can free-range them, get the little kids to protect them from the chicken hawks during the day, them up, put them back in the coop at night. Rabbits, have you ever tried to herd rabbits? It's not very easy. I've had rabbits get out of our Colorado. Remember that name, Peckham, Colorado, P-E-C-K-E-M, Colorado. Google it and look at how small of a town I grew up in. I grew up in a bunch of small towns. We're always moving around. Buying up rabbit hutches and rabbits right now is a little behind the eight ball, don't you think? A little behind the curve. You want to be ahead of the curve. I don't know if that's going to be a good system. And the fact that you're in a city, I don't know. You can survive, you know, they proved that during World War II. The Brits know that. You can survive with a small victory garden. But you know the truth? We were sending shipload after shipload after shipload of food, medical supplies, armaments to them every day at great risk to American civilians and merchant marines, being protected sometimes, not at all. So don't kid yourself, Britain. I know we have a couple listeners in Britain. We don't have any listeners in Egypt anymore because they turned off the internet. But take heed, people. If you don't have a system now, I mean, if we have to, we'll hunt, fish, you know. I think the biggest animal I want to have is a goat, just because I don't want the hassles. But how are you going to do that in a city? You can never store enough food. You can't. Unless you're Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, you're not going to have enough money or enough space to store the food you need for the rest of your life because you're Mr. Burns and you're going to die within the next decade. That's a selfish, you know, that's practical but very selfish to think that way. We don't have enough food to last a year stored. We wish we did, but we didn't. But we have enough food to be augmented by what God's bounty will provide us if we work hard. To build us, to allow us to get into shape. I figure a 3 to 6 month period shifting from the economy we're used to now to a survival economy. But does that mean I'm going to stop at a 6 month supply of food for my pudgy little boy here to my left?
Hey.
Hey. No, Lou's not pudgy anymore. When I met Lou, when he was living in the basement underneath the stairs at his grandma's house, and they would throw the bones down every night to him after the communal meal, he was a little pudgy kid, and that was okay when you're a pudgy little kid. But he's 15 now, and he's getting in shape. There's some more work that needs to be done, but we're all working on that together. Every one of us can be in better shape than we are now. I kid Lou because it's easy, because I can still beat him up. I don't know how much longer that'll last, but I'm going to take advantage of every bit I can now. I'm going to have to get a taser soon, I think. But you people got to be thinking along the same lines. You don't have to necessarily come here or to any of the other beacons that we know about. Last week we talked about Bo Grites, or as Lou likes to say.
Bo Grits.
Bo Grits. When he first saw it, the first time I ever showed him one of the Spike videos, he goes, Bo Grits. I said, it's Grites, Lou.
Bo Kiss My Grits.
Yeah, Bo Kiss My Grits. And combining some 70s folklore from TV there. I don't even know what Bo's doing anymore, to be honest with you. I last time I saw him, I got him to sign a book, like in Denver when I was still in the Army. But there are beacons out there. There are places. There are cities on hills that are putting out the lamp and saying you can come in. But eventually, that lamp's going to be put out. And just like Noah did on the ark, he got in his family. And Noah didn't shut that door. And I say that over and over again because you guys got to get this, especially you non-Christians listen to this. Noah didn't pull up that door with his sons and his daughter-in-laws and his wife and all the animals that God told him to put in there. God shut the door. After 110 years of warning the morons of the earth that judgment was coming. We're in the same situation now, but I'm not saying it's the end of the world. But we're definitely under God's judgment. As the cycles of mankind go, this could be a bad one. We could see another World War II type situation where huge regions are at battle all around the world. Resources are limited. People are literally dying of starvation in the same apartments they thought they would never have to leave. Because they didn't plan, they didn't understand, they didn't have a realistic view of just about what kind of evil men will do to other men. Unrealistic view of the world is probably the most deadly thing you can have. Second only to ignoring God, because eternal souls, you know, eternal life is more important than anything we do here on this planet. And that's what we do here. That's what I'm reaching out to you guys for. Because I do care about even people I don't know. I don't want people's children to starve. I may seriously dislike and even hate my enemy. I can love him at the same time as hate him. Whole nother lesson plan. But I don't want his children to starve. I don't want my neighbor's children to starve. But when it comes down to it, when that door closes on my ark, my loved ones, my family are all that matter. This whole Christian, you know, oh, you've got to share everything you have, false doctrine that's been pushed on us since the American Depression. No, we teach people to fish. We don't keep giving them fish. You keep giving somebody a fish, you're teaching them to starve. Period. And we literally give out fish hooks here, and string, and weights. And we tell them where the streams are. Oh, I love this. Worland just checked in. The city of Chico wants to charge anybody raising chickens $2,000 per bird. And, of course, that's to get rid of the lovely Latino culture heritage of chicken fighting, rooster fighting. I don't know if they fight chickens, but they gamecocks. And because of that, people can't have chickens for food. $2,000. That's like you can have a machine gun in California if you're willing to pay a $3,000 tax
plus
every
tax.
Year. Huh?
Plus taxes on
that. Yeah, plus taxes. City of Chico. So, if you want to have a chicken in Chico, and I'm sure it's the same way in L.A. and everywhere else, How are you going to do that? And you say, well, there won't be any. Well, how are you going to build the coop? How are you going to maintain it? Because you don't know the day of calamity. I don't know it. And if I claim to know the day of calamity, you're supposed to take me out and stone me at the city gate. That doesn't mean buy me a drink. That means pick up a rock and bash out my brains. Because that means I'm of witchcraft and I'm trying to state the day of the coming calamity. I don't know that. I just know one's coming. And I'm trying to warn you guys, and you ladies, that will listen to me. And what if I'm wrong? Okay. Oh, well. You've got training. You've bonded with your family better. You've got food in case you lose your job. You've got food in case of a flood. You've buffeted your body and become strong and able to do things with your hands that you never imagined you'd be able to do. Oh, that Dutch Jones is a bad guy for making me do all this stuff. I should just hate him and go throw myself in the river for wasting all my time and money on this. If you do this right, you're not risking anything. In fact, you're enhancing your family's life. You're getting closer to God if you do it right. If you're doing this without God, okay. Sure, you may survive this battle, but you won't survive the eternal battle. I know it. I know a lot of the guys hate that because I get email from guys. Oh, why can't you just talk about malicious stuff? Because that's not the kind of show it is. You can get that on all the other shows. I'm here for this specific reason. But, on the other hand, what if I'm right? What if God really is using me? 10 years from now, something just terrible, horrible that we haven't even imagined. Nothing that I've even whispered about happens. Switzerland goes nuclear and takes out everybody. Something completely off the horizon. Something we never dreamt up. Not even in a bad episode of Star Trek could you possibly imagine this end-of-the-world scenario, and it happens. And you've got everything you need, and all your neighbors are in a death camp looking up at the tower, seeing the machine gun pointed at them. Who would you rather be? The guy who's hoofing it up the hillside and out of town with your backpacks on your back and your weapons in your hands and your children trained, disciplined, your wife listening to every command you give and executing it without question or worrying about how her hair looks? Your children not listening to iPods but listening to the comm scanner that you gave them? Your teenage son's doing sweep and covering your trail as you're bugging out and everybody else is being rounded up and the lucky ones are being shot in the head. How are you going to feel then? Well, if you're the kind of guy that goes, well, I'd rather just have my money and have my fun now and not worry about it, go crap yourself somewhere else when this happens because I don't want to be around you. I'm sorry about being vulgar like that, but I'm just sick of that attitude. Or on the other end, if you're one of those guys, well, I did 4 tours in Nam, and I got me a case of ammo and my AR-15 and my K-bar. I don't need no training. Okay, fine. Let's see how that works. You're always better than you really were the older you get. Just like I told today when I was telling this story how cold it was when I went hunting on New Year's Day 1 year and got hypothermia and frostbite. Now when I tell the story, it was 70 below zero. I'm very realistic about my limits, and, you know, I'll joke about it, but you guys... Like Pete, who came to our training. Why is it people named Peter are jerks when they come here? I just realized that. The last guy we had a lot of problems with was named Peter, and then this guy who came on Saturday was named Peter. Did you realize that? Mm-hmm. Wow. What's the Lord trying to tell us? Beware the Peters in the world. I'm just going to throw that out there. You guys come up with your own punchline. Yeah, were they fishermen? No. One was a Nazi, one was a cop. Both kind of Nazis. When you think about it, cop, Nazi, Nazi, cop. Maybe the FBI's got a sense of humor, and that's who they send here to our trainings. You know, these... Let's name them all Pete and see if they notice. Some jerk. Yeah, that guy that lied about being a Vietnam veteran, a pilot, and all that. His name was Pete, too. I don't know his last name. I never asked. But his name was Peter, too. Yeah, it's kind of funny that way. His last name. I don't care about his last name. I wouldn't give it out anyway, just in case he's just an old guy.
Pete Zinger.
I've heard that you're 50% as good as you were at the range when you were in a gunfight. Yeah, and that's just a generic thing, Border Guardian. When you're under stress, adrenaline's pumping.
Gross motor.
You fall back on gross motor, 50%. Your groupings open up. Your reaction time slows down. Your vision gets 50% worse.
How to aim.
Yeah, people forget how to aim. That's why you always see these shootouts with cops, my brothers and sisters, where they shoot 45 rounds and wound the guy once in the elbow, but light up everybody else. That's why you have highway patrolmen in California stopping to pick up their rounds and then getting shot in the head by the bad guy because the bad guy actually trains. It happened here. It's happened. There's story after story after story of these people that get into combat and do outrageously strange things. People who got out of the military 20 years ago, somebody invades their home and they shoot their kid instead of the guy who's in their home because they don't train. They don't have a realistic view of their limitations and their skills. You can think you're the most skilled guy in the world, but if you don't know your limitations, what is it Clint Eastwood said? Man's got to know his limitations. A lot of truth in that. If people could only say one thing about me on my gravestone, I wanted to say he was humble. Because I've been humbled in my life over and over and over again. Because every time when I was a young man that I thought I had it, even before I was a Christian, God sent somebody to come by and kick my teeth in to teach me a lesson. Every time I thought I was the baddest kid on the playground, he'd send a girl over to beat me up. Every time I thought I had all my gear together and ready to go, a knock at the door at 2 in the morning came and there was an emergency that needed me and I couldn't find my toe strap. I couldn't find my gas-powered pump to pump out my buddy's basement. So what I do now is I spend my life trying to make up for those egotistical shortcomings that we all have. Am I going to get them all? No. Are you going to get them all? No. If you're the kind of guy that can get them all, you need to come up here and train us. You need to have your own radio show and share with us how you got to that point. But I'm here to tell you that's not going to happen. There's only one perfect man that ever walked the earth. And the Jews grabbed him and nailed him to a cross, killed him. And he raised himself from the dead 2 days later and saved us all. That man's name, Lou? What was that man's name?
Jesus Cristo.
Jesus Cristo. Lewis is learning Spanish, so he's working on his accent. Jesus Cristo. He can say some funny stuff. I don't know if any of you speak Spanish. Do you know how you ordered food the other day at the restaurant? This is hilarious.
Cocina un perro y un gato.
He asked the waitress if she could cook a dog and cat for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she just kind of looked at us. He's learning Spanish. We're trying to get him out more. Now he speaks more in Spanish, in these weird phrases of Spanish, than he ever did in English. I love it. And we got the Rosetta Stone kit. We got a bunch of them. We got, what did we get? Chinese for the pastor, Spanish for you, Russian for another guy.
Farsi.
We got Farsi. I may take Farsi. I think I'm going to do Farsi.
And,
after this next...
German.
German. I had a little bit of German in high school. That's another thing. Always be testing your mind.
And pastor requested French.
French. We got French, too, yeah. For someone. We got to get somebody in our militia to learn French. So as long as you have, you know... We have somebody in the militia with a computer that's listening to this, and you know who you are. We've got these things. We need to make an announcement next Sunday that we have those options for people. I think that's a good thing. I've overlooked that. And Lou went through a lot of trouble getting these things off of eBay and bidding on them, because they're not cheap. They're not cheap. It was our ministry. Someone out there donated a big chunk of money to the militia specifically, and that's we used it for
they're
a lot of training materials.
They're
really cheap on eBay.
After you install them.
Yeah, once you install them, people sell the disc to recoup. Because how much do they cost new, Lou?
Like $700 for a whole set.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys heard them on that. But people are then selling them for like $100 on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, look for them, different languages. And with all the UN troops are going to be sent in here, we're going to need to learn different languages, aren't we? Aren't we?
See?
Da. Da is pravda. Da is pravda. That's all I know in Russian. I tried to learn Russian in the Army, and I kept screwing up the test and never made it. But I only got a couple more minutes here. I rambled on. My voice is trashed. But I hope I enlightened you. I hope I entertained you. I hope I encouraged you to crack open your Bible as well as your military manuals. I hope I woke a couple people up. I hope I offended a few people. Because unless you're being offended, your life's too easy, I think. I get offended constantly all day long. I had a bunch of sodomite faggots emailing me today and complaining. Chick-fil-A. If you have a Chick-fil-A near you, go and order twice as much as you normally do. They made a huge donation to defend, you know how I feel about this, to defend or fight faggot marriage. And I could care less about it because we don't do marriage license. Anybody that goes to the state or the county to get a marriage license, on you, but... you shouldn't be doing that anyway. It's family jurisdiction. But since I found that out, we're going to drive 70 miles this weekend
or this week to go to the nearest Chick-fil-A and order a bunch of stuff to make up for all the sodomites that are attacking them and ordering a boycott. So I posted that on their Facebook page, said, oh, God bless you, you do, and then all the sodomites came out attacking me. And they aren't used to anybody attacking them back. I let them have it. Oh, man, I just tore into them, throwing biblical verses at them, social, medical reasons why being a sodomite's stupid. And then the lesbians started in. I said, yeah, I have just as many problems with lesbians. You dykes are just as bad. You're sinful. Oh, you sounds like a good Christian. I said, no, you chose to sin. You're my enemy. And besides, you guys attacked me first. I just said, God bless them for doing it. I will now drive 70 miles out of my way to shop there to support them. But it's like boycotts are like voodoo. They only work if the targeted company cares. They'll only have that effect. So I'm telling you, all those of you that won't eat at Taco Bell anymore because they're pounding sand into the cattle before they butcher them, Chick-fil-A, it's a good, healthy alternative. And somebody's going to go, oh, they're a Masonic company. I don't know. I don't know anything about Chick-fil-A. They had them on college campus where I went, and I ate there a couple times a month. I preferred the Wendy's that was on our student union. But I love Chick-fil-A. Okay. So we're getting ready to get out of here. Remember, DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. Go ahead and roll the music, Lou. DutchJones.info.